So it's good to just be here. It's good to have everybody coming in by live stream. And I just want to welcome you coming in. I know that it's a little different doing that at the house, but at the same time, it's worth the effort because God can meet you right where you're at. It doesn't matter about anything else. He's ready and willing to meet us where we're at. Right, Andres?
Yes, amen.
Okay. Come on. I got to hear somebody there. Yeah. Hallelujah. And so let's give a quick shout out. So I see Tim and Veronica and Michelle and let's see who else is out here. Anita and Sharon and others here. So Catherine. And so thank you for tuning in, and we appreciate your love and all that goes with that. Hallelujah. Amen. So if you would just turn with me to Isaiah 30. I just want to share one of my favorite scriptures for a brief moment, and then I'm going to jump into the message. So this is kind of like a prelude to the message. This is not the message, but it's a prelude to the message. It's my segue to the message. All right? You thought segue was one of those things that you used to ride on, right? You still ride on, huh? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So here we go. For thus says Lord God, the Holy One of Israel has said, in repentance and rest you shall be saved. In quietness and trust is your strength. In quietness and trust is your strength. In repentance and rest you shall be saved. Because see, what is beginning to just lay out for you is a path, because that path allows you to understand His heart towards you. Because see, the repentance, because when we come with repentance, now we can also come with rest. When we come with repentance, now we can begin to let Him just deal in our heart. We can take that thing, and as we're talking about, then we can bury it. But once it's expressed, it can be buried. But that allows you to step into the place where you shall be saved, okay? Because in repentance and rest, now once we've done that, we have rest from that thing which was distracting you and keeping you distant from the Lord. When we have rest, we have an opportunity now to come next to Him and come be with Him. And as we're with Him, then that gives Him the opportunity to minister into our heart. Because, see, that's where salvation actually is. It's the actual reunion between us and the Lord. So in that, now we have a place for quietness and trust to happen. Because when quietness and trust, now then our heart can be still. And we can begin to trust the Lord. And we're not moved by the things that we're seeing. We're not moved by the things that we're hearing. We're not moved by everything that's going on around us. See, there's a lot of times that the things that are around us begin to can get into our head and begin to disquiet us from where we're going and who we really are. If the things around you are affecting your identity, you're giving them too much examination. If the things around you are affecting your identity, you're giving it too much space. So you need to recognize that God has an actual plan for you, and it's not because of the things that are around you. So let's take a look in 2 Kings. In 2 Kings 6. See, Elisha was causing the king of Aramea a lot of problems. Now, he wasn't doing it deliberately, although I guess he was doing it on purpose. But because he was engaging and speaking to his king, and as he would speak to his king, he would tell them what the Arameans were about to do. And so finally, the king of the Arameans was like, who's in my bedchamber telling the other king what's going on? Who's telling Israel where I'm going to be? And they just said, oh, no, my Lord, it's Elisha. He knows. He knows where you're going. He knows what's going on. He knows what's happening. And so they hatch a plot to come and capture Elisha. And so we'll pick it up here. Hallelujah. We'll pick it up in verse 15. And now when the attendant of the man of God had risen early and gone outside, behold, an army with horses and chariots was circling the city. And the servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" An army was all of a sudden, out of nowhere, an army circling around you. You know, when things like what we're going through start happening, it disturbs us. And when we get disturbed, a lot of times people begin to respond and act in fear. And one of the ways, I like the way, we don't use the word alas anymore, but when the NIV, it just said, "Oh no, what do we do? What are we going to do?" In the NIV, that's what it says, "Oh no." And I remember some "oh no" moments in my own life, okay? I remember waking up after the jet ski accident and going, "Oh no." It wasn't a dream. It wasn't just a nightmare. Because, you know, you wake up in a hospital. It's an "oh no." It's real. And I didn't want it to be real. I don't want it to be real. But it was an "oh no" moment. You know, there was other "oh no" moments. I mean, I remember when I wrecked my first car and I woke up in the next morning and I was like, "Oh no, it really happened." I actually went outside to make sure that it happened. Wasn't a good moment. And right now in this pandemic, people are waking up and they're going, "Oh no." You know, some people are waking up and they're going, "Oh no, the kids are going to be home how long? Oh no, can we send them somewhere else? Oh no, the daycare is closed. Oh no, my restaurant's closed. I'm going to have to fix my own food." See, if you got Kim with on your side, then you don't have to fix your own food. That's awesome. She does a great job. But there's an "oh no" moment. I mean, "Oh no," I made the mistake of looking at my 401k. "Oh no." That wasn't a good thing to do. When you begin to understand, there's a disquieting, and it comes out of our heart as an exclamation, like, "Uh-oh, I got to do something." But see, what happens next, what the enemy is trying to create in that moment is fear. Exactly, that's a great point. What he's trying to create is fear, because see, the "oh no" is something just happened and it was outside of my control. And if it's outside of my control, it threatens my self-sufficiency. And so when I begin to understand that "oh no" moment is just a moment for me to step into the promise of God. See, we have an advantage here because we've been trained for this time. We've been trained for a time such as this because there's a place where the "oh no" meets the one who is Jesus. He meets the one who is king, the one who is greater than the circumstance. And that's what we need to understand and hold in our heart, even if the "oh no" escapes from our mouth for just a moment. Because see, if there's an "oh no" in your heart, there's a God who's bigger than the situation that's in front of you. And that's what this man is fixing to find out with Elisha. Because see, Elisha sees something he doesn't see. Elisha knows something he doesn't know. Elisha has a relationship with God that the servant doesn't have. And that's what we're looking for during this time. We're going to be solidifying. It's amazing how, you know, things get stirred up. When there's something unusual happening, things get stirred up. It doesn't have to be a pandemic. I mean, it can be anything that's outside your comfort zone. But right now in a pandemic, I can tell you things are being stirred up. And because things are being stirred up, we have an opportunity now to minister the heart of God to them. We have an opportunity to release peace where they don't see peace. We have an opportunity to release hope where they don't see hope. It doesn't matter what the situation might look like right now. God has a way of turning things around, but we just have to leave him in the place of trust. We have to step right back to where we said we come back into the quietness and trust. When we have quietness and trust rising up inside of us, now we're not subject to everything else that's going on outside. Amen? Hallelujah. So, what shall we do? And so we answered, this is Elisha answering, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Do not fear, for those who are with you are more than those who are against you. Do not fear, because there's more of me. I'm greater than the situation. I'm greater than the circumstance. I'm greater than some disease. I'm greater than some pandemic. I'm greater than whatever fear that you might have because of the pandemic. That's what he wants us to understand. Because see, if the enemy's creating fear, the fear is trying to push you into a place of anxiousness, anxiety. But God says, I am the answer to anxiety. I am the answer. Because why? Because I am the one who has within me the love that will overcome the fear. Hallelujah. So, and Elisha prayed and said, O Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened a servant's eyes, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Full of horses and chariots of fire. In other words, there was something already going on. The Lord had already sent the angels out in front. He'd already begun to answer the problem before he even got there, before the man of God even spoke. It was already there because he was seeing what was already there. He just was speaking so that the servant could come alongside and see it too. That's what God is wanting us to understand. Right now, if we'll just let him speak, he'll show you. If you'll let him show you, you'll find peace. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And so when they come down to verse 18, when they'd come down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and says, strike this people with blindness, and I pray. This is the God who answers by fire. This is the God who answers by fire. I want us all praying so to see, then to know the God who answers by fire, because it's the God who answers by fire. He's getting the job done. I mean, you know, he's basically strike them all with blindness and bam. Then he leads them in and he doesn't let the king kill them. He says, I want you to feed them and send them back. Because in that, you create a greater level of respect. You create a greater level of reverence for this kingdom than you would by wiping them all out. You wipe them all out, there's nobody to go back and tell the king what happened. But if you feed them and you send them back, now these people aren't likely to ever come back here because they know that somebody is with them. They know that there's a Lord God who's with them. And for a whole generation, they didn't have to deal with another battle with the Aramaeans simply because the man of God saw something in the circumstance, in the midst of the circumstance. He saw something that superseded the circumstance. It went past the place where they were expecting. And that's the God that we have working for us. That's the God to have working for us. When we wake up with that oh no moment, when we wake up and realize, oh no, I've got to take care of my own kids. Oh no. I've got to look around and fix my own meal. Oh no. Whatever it is, whatever your oh no is. But see, when we begin to stand in that place and we recognize that he's our sufficiency, now he can come into the place of agreement with him. And it comes simply because we choose to see what he's seeing. Go with me to Matthew 6. In Matthew 6. This is going to be familiar to most of you. Because in Matthew 6, it says verse 20, but lay up yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither rust, moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You know what happens in an oh no moment? A lot of times what happens in an oh no moment is we begin to have those thoughts. We begin to play the old tape. When the old tape plays, I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. I know none of you guys. You guys are all way too holy, so you don't know about this. But that old tape that plays in your head, and that old tape is all those worst case scenarios. I remember when I lost my company, and I remember waking up in the middle of the night, and the tape that was playing was me underneath the bridge, when no one would talk to me and no one would come near me and my family disowned me. And it was like, I had no friends. I had no nothing. It was horrible. It was horrible. Deep depression, agony. It was horrible. But, and I would wake up like that. And it was like that. But see, that was an old tape that was playing that the enemy was trying to broadcast a worst case scenario. The reality is those worst case scenarios aren't going to happen anyway. That was never going to happen. I have friends. I have family. I have people who actually love me. It's amazing. But then they're going to let me just starve out there. That's right. So you have to understand that's the way the enemy wants to work, because see, now he can control your mind. So if he's playing that tape and he's playing that scenario, he's holding your mind. And that's, see, what you actually do by playing that tape and allowing that tape to play over and over is you're treasuring that. You're making that your treasure instead of making the word your treasure. So now we understand, see, when we look at those things and we allow that to happen, see, that's a choice that we make. I know that's uncomfortable for you to hear, but that's a choice that we make. We don't have to let that tape play. That thought might start and it might come, but it doesn't have to stay. Just what was it, somebody used to say, just because the bird comes to roost, or just because the bird flies over you doesn't mean you have to let him roost in your hair. Kenneth Hagin, thank you. Okay. So now because a thought passes by doesn't mean we grab it. So if we can stay and we're consistent, like what we were talking about last week, treasuring the word. If we're consistent treasuring the word instead of treasuring those other things and letting those other things have space that they were never supposed to have, then we'll always be looking, if we're careful to treasure the word, we're always looking and grabbing a hold of what's next and what's good and what's building me up instead of what's tearing me down. See, sometimes the enemy just simply wants to use your thought structure to tear you down. If you grew up in a negative environment, he wants to use that thought structure to just simply destroy you, to put you into a loop of self-sabotage to make those things come true. But that's not the Lord's plan for you. That was never the Lord's plan for you. His plan is for a hope and a future that cannot be denied. Hallelujah. We'll get to that later. Amen? So where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. For the lamp of the body is the eye, therefore your eye is clear. Your whole body will be full of light. And we know that's the alpha pleco, where it means to be Jesus or Christ woven. Christ woven. So when our vision, when what we're set on is Christ, when it's interwoven with Christ, now there's nowhere for the enemy to come in and divide your thought and divide your loyalty and divide your future. Because why? Because he has a purpose for you that's held within him. And as you're held within him, now you have a protection that's all around you. Because why? You set your eye to be single upon that. We often relate these scriptures. It says in verse 24 about mammon, you can't serve two masters, mammon or God or the Lord. Because what it means, well, a lot of times we're looking at that as meaning just riches, okay, just money. But it also can mean that which you rely on. if we're making that the thing that we rely on, something besides God, it's going to steal from you. It's going to keep you from the Alpha Blaco. It's going to keep you from being Christ woven. If we're relying on the hand of man, if we're relying on something besides the heart of God, we're relying on something that won't sustain. See, when we're talking about mammon, to me, I look at mammon as basically the earth curse system. Not just finances, but in all areas. But if my reliance is upon those things instead of on the Lord, I've already divided my interest. And therefore, I'm breaking apart the woven Christ. So, those are some thoughts. Because, and I'm basically at this moment, I've just been describing some of the problem, but I also want to describe some of the solution. Because in this, God doesn't leave us with just a problem. He wants us to abide by the solutions, to abide in and with the solution, because he considers himself to be the answer to every situation that we come across. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's given us the greatest weapon. The greatest weapon of all against anxiety is simply the right hand of God. When he gives us this weapon, because when we come into his presence, just like we felt a minute ago, when you come into his presence, there's a surety and a confidence that comes simply because you're in the Lord's presence. And out of that place, now you can begin to make decisions and see and move with him. The whole purpose of fear is to cause you to move outside of the purpose of God. When fear comes, its whole thing is to rearrange your thought structure so that you will have irrational responses like going and blowing up all the toilet paper. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. There's so many things that were really important to be doing, to be spending all your time shopping for toilet paper, because it's an irrational response. And unfortunately, once enough people did it, then you were kind of forced to do it just so you could have a normal supply. That's right. Tissues for the issues. Because of the presence of God, because of the right hand, we've been given the privilege to come up and get above the circumstance, to get above the pandemic, to begin to see the pandemic from a new perspective, to see the pandemic outside of it. Because the reality is you have to remember that this pandemic is outside of you. It's not in you. Because if it's outside of you, and it's not in you, now that means that you have the ability to look over it and through it and past it. Because the reality is, this is not your story. Like I said last week, this is not the end. This is in the story of your life, this is going to be a little footnote at the bottom. I know it seems like it's all important right now, but it's not. It's not the thing that God's looking for, and it's not the thing that's going to define your life. None of the oh no moments that I've had in my life actually defined my life. Not one. Now, there were some things I learned a few lessons from some oh no moments. I learned not to do on a jet ski. I learned that glass doors, when you pull them over on your head, they penetrate. There was a few oh no moments we've had. I remember when you drive off the side of a cliff, that's not a good thing. That's an oh no moment. Don't do that. But the deal is that none of those have defined who I am. None of those have defined what my life is about. What's defined what my life is about is what Christ did. What he did. Who he is and who he is in me. Those are the things that define who I am and where I'm going. Hallelujah. So know that the oh no moment is going to pass. And it's going to pass because we have given it the time and a place, and we've given it an understanding that's outside of the time and place that we're in. Because we're able to see past it. Why? Because God will lift you up. He'll lift you higher. He'll draw you to himself. He'll set you in his throne. He'll set you next to him. And as he does so, he's beginning to speak, and he begins to release a place of confidence into the atmosphere around you that changes you and your response. And then your neighbor comes and saying, "What's up with you?" Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, when we can't control what's going on around us, anxiety is a result. But that becomes only because we believe a lie that we're supposed to control the environment around us, instead of realizing the truth that only Christ truly is in control. When we realize that truth and we let go of the lie, now we can be at rest. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Okay. So let me think of this out a second. One of the things that when we're serving mammon or we're serving Christ, you really, if you look at it as, I'm not going to have a plan B. Do you understand what I mean? I mean, if you're having an issue and you're looking only, and you're looking at plan A, and then you're looking at plan B, and you're looking at plan C, you never really commit to plan A. If we're not committing to the Lord, we can't, there's always, we'll always fall back to something else. If I came out of an atmosphere of addiction and that was my thing in the past, then if I'm not committed to the Lord, then what I will do is I will fall back to plan B, and I'll go right back into the addiction, right back into the old mode, instead of realizing I don't have a place for a plan B. If I don't have a place for a plan B, I have nowhere to go back to. There's a song called Burn the Ships. And it's a reflection back to Cortez when they were invading Mexico. When Cortez was invading Mexico, basically when they landed, the men didn't really, they were not committing themselves to the fight. So he said, "Okay, everybody off the ship." And as soon as he got everybody off the ship and on the shore, he said, "Burn the ships." Now they had nowhere to go back to. Guess what? It proved the way they fight. They were now committed to what they were fixing to do. And now you have blue-eyed, blonde-haired Mexicans. That's what happened. They ended up staying because they burned the ships. But they stayed because of why? Because he had a conquest. He had a mission, and he was going to make that mission happen. And it didn't matter. There was no going back at that point. There was no place to turn back. So if I use that in my life, if I go, I don't need to have a plan B. I need to just simply stay in plan A, and I need to be committed. I need to burn the ships so that I don't go back to plan B. I don't go back to the old way of doing things. I don't go back to my past habit. I don't go past to my old way of understanding, my old way of thinking. If I just begin to stay in the new way of thinking, now I have a place where I can take ownership of the present and ownership of the future, because I'm no longer trying to do it out of the past. I'm no longer trying to turn around. That means I no longer have a place for the old methods. The old method, you know what a rut is? It's just a grave with the end kicked out of it. And what that means is that if you stay in the rut is only going to keep you going back to the old thing. But I can't have the old thing. And in this time, in this hour, see, the pressure, when the pressure of a situation gets on us, we want to respond in an old way. But see, what God is saying, now is the opportunity for you to expand and do it in a new way. Do it according to my plan. Do it according to my purpose, and begin to overcome and to have the courage that I have already put in you. And because of that, now you have the overcomer and you have the victory, because the victory is coming out of me and it's no longer about you and your flesh. Hallelujah. Amen. I think I got all those points in there I was trying to make. Hallelujah. So we're going to burn the ships. Burn it. Burn it. Burn the ships. Yeah, that's a, like I say, that's just a whole nother level of circumcision, isn't it? Let's see what I got. Let me go to Psalms 34. Let me touch there, and then I want to go to Jeremiah 1. Hallelujah. I want to get to sharing something here in a minute that's out of Jeremiah 1. I'm going to share it. It's something that I heard this morning as I was praying. LaRue is going to try to tell you that he takes credit for it, but I want you to know. But I want you to know that you're going to hear it from me first. You're hearing it from me first, and so I get the credit for whenever he shares it. because the reality is that I did. I was praying, and I got the message. It came in the form of a text, but I got the message. Who knows? I mean, God can text you. Actually, I have a friend of mine, and he's been spending a lot more time praying in tongues. And as he's been praying in tongues, some remarkable things have happened. And one day he became aware that he just had that feeling that I'm praying in tongues and I'm praying it in a known language. And so he began to enter the things that he was speaking into his phone. And it turns out that he was speaking in Portuguese. And the Lord was giving him words to himself. Like, I love you, my love. You are safe with me. And so he would just pray in tongues and he'd enter it into his computer. And it would spit back to him in Portuguese what he was saying. And he's been doing that apparently for several months now. And I think that's just, you see, God can text you. God can send you a hashtag, I love you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, somebody, indeed. So here, listen to David, okay? I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and he delivered me from all my fears. He delivered me from all my fears. That word fears is the word, it translates as a granary, a barn. In other words, it's a picture of the things that you've been storing up. You know, fear doesn't really have a place to work in your life unless you're storing up something that doesn't actually even belong to you. Say that again. Fear is only able to interact if you're storing up something that doesn't belong to you. Because when we became Christ's, we became his. And he's not the one who's storing up fear. That fear came out of some other situation, some other circumstance, some other memory, some other thing in your life, but it didn't come from God. When he gave you a new nature, that didn't come with it. When he gave you a new nature, that new nature comes without fear because it comes only knowing love. So when we feel that, we already know I've allowed some level of separation to come between me and the Lord. But he's going to deliver me out of that place of separation. He's going to deliver me out of the thing that I've stored up somewhere and I don't even need to have a hold of anymore. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then verse 7. An angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he rescues them. See, we shared that earlier, that the angels of the Lord were all around, because those, I believe those horses and soldiers, or the horses that were surrounding the horses and soldiers that were surrounding Elijah, and then they were surrounded by the level, I believe those outside ring was the angels of the Lord encamping around Elijah, camping around the man of God. But guess what? They're ready to go into operation for you. They're ready to go wherever you need. They're ready to go in front of you. They're ready to deal with a pandemic. They're ready to deal with COVID-19. They're ready to deal with whatever finances that you need, whatever opposition that you have at work, whatever is going on in your life, whatever is taking place, they're taking the place of God. They're ready to deal with it and move it out and deliver you from it. That's the God that we serve. That's the God who wants to make you free, who's given you a place and a way to be free. Hallelujah. Yes. Yes. Hallelujah. So Psalms 34. And then let's go to Jeremiah 1. Because in Jeremiah 1, I want to touch base. This is the spot where LaRue, my son, tried to say that, you know, that he saw this. But he just, you know. Hallelujah. I won't steal all this stuff. But he just said, don't steal his message. Don't you wish you were here? Hallelujah. Okay, I know what was in here when I was reading my Bible earlier. Where'd it go? Hallelujah. Don't you do it. Jeremiah 1 and 10. Where's my verse 10? There it is. Okay. Jeremiah 1 and 7. But the Lord said to me, I'm sorry, let's back up. Let's back up one more, okay? Let's go to verse 5. And here's the Lord speaking to Jeremiah. And it says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations. And then I said, Jeremiah speaking, alas, Lord God. Oh no, Lord God. Behold, I do not know how to speak because I am a youth. So he had his own oh no moment. You're going to be a prophet. And he's, oh no, I'm not ready. I'm not old enough. I'm not big enough. I'm not important enough. I'm not bright enough. I'm not comfortable with speaking enough. I'm not brave enough. Oh no. See, fear. He was allowing fear to come back in. The Lord just gave him a word. Guess what? When the Lord gives you a word, especially a word like that, every word that comes from the Lord comes with everything it takes, the grace it takes to empower it, the grace it takes to complete it. But we have to see it. We have to see it first. And the Lord said, do not say, I am a youth, because everywhere I send you, you shall go. And all that I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid. He goes right to the core of the problem. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid of the virus. Do not be afraid of what is going to happen. Do not be afraid of what your finances look like. Do not be afraid of having your kids home from school. Do not be afraid. I know, the kids are all going to be upset with me now, huh? For I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. See, that's where faith comes in. That's the operation of faith in order. But he wants you to see something. Then the Lord stretched out his hand, touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I've put my words in your mouth. See, I have appointed you this day over the nations and over the kingdoms to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. In other words, I've appointed you not only a prophet, but I've appointed you to complete a work that I've already have in my heart. I've appointed you and I've given you the power. And yet at that moment, guess what? At that moment, he hadn't done any of those things. At that moment, he had yet to speak his first prophecy. And the Lord says, I have. See, I have. See, I have. I've already done it. In other words, the Lord's already speaking to him as if it's complete. He's speaking to him from the finished product. He's speaking to him from a place of, I already see it, not only see it happening, but I see it completed, I see it done. And then that's what he needed to understand, is when I'm speaking to you, son, when I'm imparting this to you, when I'm imparting this word to you, I'm imparting not only the word, but the way and the faith to get it accomplished. And it's in that, because why? Because we have to see it like he sees it. When we see it from the place where it's finished, when we see it from the place of being complete, when we see it from the place of being done, and it didn't require all of me to do it, it required him to do it. We begin to understand that it's not me who's going to accomplish that. I can let go of the pressure of it. Because why? Because now the pressure actually is on him. Because he's the one who said, I'm going to do it and I'm going to deliver you. Now that's why we can come into a place of rest, because I'm not having to do it out of my own strength. I'm not having to do it out of my own mechanisms, out of my own ingenuity, and out of my own ability to push on it hard enough. See, there was a day and time when if I met an obstacle and it didn't move the first time, I just figured out how to push on it a little harder and push on it a little harder. It was probably kind of annoying for the people who were around me. Because I pushed on it harder until he got out of my way. But see, God's not like that. He's not looking for you to push on it harder. He's looking for you to stand in faith better. Stand in faith longer. Stand in faith in agreement with him. And see it the way he sees it. Because if you're seeing it the way he sees it, now you can stay in the place of rest. Yes, there's something for you to do. But it's mostly for you to stay in the place of rest in him with it. And when you do that, peace comes upon you beyond your understanding. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Peace comes upon it beyond your ability to see, beyond your ability to perceive. We know in Jeremiah's life that he went on to accomplish many great things. We know that he went on to accomplish and to be the mouthpiece of the Lord to a whole generation, but not only to that generation, but to generations to follow. And it's part of God's plan. See, but God had to build him up with the confidence. And he did that by telling him and showing him, here, look with me. Come stand with me. Come be with me. And look and see what I see. And he began to lay out, not just in distance, but in time. He began to show him what the whole picture looked like. To give him a big screen picture, a big screen picture that was 4D, not just 3D. So it showed all the dimensions, but also showed the aspect of time until it was complete. That's what he's wanting to paint in our hearts as we stand with him. As we stand trusting in the word that he's giving us, as we stand trusting in the word that he's depositing in your hearts, as we stand entering in with him, now there's a place that's for a deposit there where he just sits with us and he says, here, let me mold this picture for you. Mold it, because it can't be just a 3D replication. It has to be a 4D replication. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So in that, you're no longer living subject to the feelings. In that, you're no longer living subject to the oh no's. In that, you're no longer subject to what's happening around you that you can't control. Go with me to Psalm 6 and I'll wrap this up. I'll get off of pastor's message before, my message before he, he's on his way. I get off pastor's message before he can get here anyway. I can be closed. I can have two closes at least before he can get here. So, hallelujah. I want you to see something here. Because I know that in this time, some people are struggling, okay? I know there's not, all y'all are too holy to be struggling. But there's people who are out there, and somebody out there in TV land, somebody out there in internet land is struggling. Because the media's got a hold of them. The circumstance got a hold of them. The old tape got a hold of them. It doesn't matter. God's got an answer. And he wants you to understand that you have authority. And I want you to see that you have authority. So here in Psalms 6, you look at, see verse 2. It says, "Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am pining away. Heal me, O Lord, for my bones are dismayed." See, David was a man of great emotions. There was some highs, but this is a moment of real lows. This is a moment where he's the lowest of the low. He's a man who knows how to move with God, and yet this thing has come against him. And there's an atmosphere that's pervading his thoughts. And he says, "My soul is greatly dismayed," verse 3. "But thou, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, and rescue my soul. Save me because of thy loving kindness. For there's no mention of thee in Sheol. In Sheol, who will give thanks? I am weary with my sighing. Every night I make my bed swim." Now, when you make your bed swim, that's some serious tears. "I dissolve my couch with my tears. My eye has wasted away with grief and become old because of my adversaries." But see, here's the moment where everything shifts. "Depart from me, all you who do iniquity, for the Lord has heard the voice of my weeping." I believe he's speaking to the spirits and the thoughts that are oppressing him in that moment. I believe he's speaking to those spirits and thoughts, and I believe he's actually commanding the spirits to leave. As he commands the spirits to leave, he's recognizing that they're there, and he said, "No, that's the old tape, and that tape does not have a place, and it has to go." And so he's commanding those spirits and those thoughts and that thought system, that stronghold, "No, you don't have access to me anymore. I'm rising up, and I'm going to stay with the Lord, and I'm going to look to him for my help. And we're going to look to the hills where the Lord comes from for our help." That's what he's looking for. That's what he's doing in this moment. And you'll notice it changes the whole psalm, the whole tone of the psalm changes from that point forth. As he speaks those things out, he casts out that spirit. And he says, "The Lord has heard my supplication." That's faith in action. "The Lord receives my prayer. All my enemies shall be ashamed and greatly dismayed. They shall turn back and they shall suddenly be ashamed." In other words, the man who was underneath the oppression now has risen above it, because he simply began to recognize his situation and recognize these things, these thoughts that I'm having, these things that they don't own me. They don't have any part nor lot with me. They got to go. And he begins to speak to it, and he begins to command it and have an expectation that it leaves. And I believe that as he does that, there's just a shift in his attitude and a shift in his horizons. Because why? Now he began to see it as the Lord was seeing it. He began to look and have an expectation as the Lord is having an expectation. I have an expectation that even though we see all this going around us, I believe the Lord is in the midst of this, is making opportunities for us to step out and beyond ourselves. He's making opportunities for us to see him come in a brand new way. I I don't want things to go back to like they were. I want things to go where God is asking them to go and where His expectation is. Because where His expectation is where we're all going to thrive. And that's what He's already given you the command and the ability to do. Because why? He's put the authority inside you. It's the authority is inside your heart. Even as it was inside of David's heart right here, it's inside your heart. Even if it was already inside of Jeremiah's heart from the moment that the Lord touched his lips, it's in the ability to prophesy and change generations was left in his heart. It's in your heart because the word has planted a word in your heart. The Lord has planted a word in your heart and it is going to come true. It's going to come to fruition. Why? Because we're going to be trees planted by the water. We're going to be trees drinking out of the streams of the river of life. And we're going to issue forth with leaves that don't wither and fruit that never fails. Amen. Amen. We love you. We'll see you Sunday. God bless you. Amen. Mr. Chris. And once you put up that Rivera song, if you can find it. And I'm closed before he got here. Sunday, we'll be here at 10 o'clock. And also, the picnic was rescheduled to September 19. So September 19th is our new date for the picnic. And we will look forward to having a lot of fun when that happens. Hallelujah. A little doing life together. So it'll be nice, it'll be refreshing to be able to do life together in a way that we're accustomed to hug and love on one another, and just we'll get out there and we'll celebrate it even more now. Hallelujah. All right, you got it, buddy? God bless you. Love you.
Father, we bless you today. Also, I wanted to say to the musicians, if you guys are playing with us, I am tuna 444. So play along, and at some parts we're gonna sit in heaven inside Yeshua. We're gonna release your sound to the earth. We're going to hit this coronavirus at some point, so just be on the lookout for that signal. Let's just worship Jesus right now. Let's just take your place in heaven right now. We are seated inside Yeshua in heavenly places.
Everything that we do tonight is from that place. It's from being seated inside Yeshua. And we want you all to release your sound. As you worship with us, I want you to just go for it. It's about releasing your sound. It's about changing the atmosphere. It's about changing and shifting the narrative.
That's right.
Jesus, we love you. We love you, Jesus. We're so thankful. We're so thankful for you.